You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the show. And for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into, and we'd love to have you each and every night. I got a couple of emails today from people who wanted to know what's the deal with why, you know, the latest show video. You know, you can either listen to the latest show or you can watch the latest show. And they wanted to know why we didn't update that with last night's show. And the reason is, and by the way, if you subscribe to the K-Files e-zine, you would know the answer to that because it's in there. But the answer is our video is captured by Ustream. So what we're doing right now is being captured at Ustream. And then after the show, I have to go in and type the title and enter the description of the show and put the search tags in, and then I click save. Well, I did that. I clicked save, and the little notice popped up that said, your video has, or your recording has been successfully saved. The next thing I have to do is I have to go to another part of their site, and I have to do a couple of things and then click a button that makes it show up publicly, so that it's publicly available. Well, it wasn't there. Even though it said it had been successfully saved, it disappeared. It wasn't there. And I have written to them. I've asked questions about it. And so far, no one has responded. So I don't know. We couldn't update the that feature of watch the latest show, because it's gone. We don't know where it went. It just evaporated. Let me ask you a question. I guess just about everyone in the audience is familiar, if I say the Mayans, the Incas, the Aztec. Maybe a few less are familiar, but a great many are familiar. If I say the Sumerians, did you ever wonder what happened to these people? Now, we know with the Mayan and the Aztec, they're still around. Their vast civilization and empire is gone, but the people are still around. The Mayans still live in Mexico and the Aztec. So, what happened to the Sumerians? Did you ever wonder, I mean, like, did they just disappear? Well, the answer to that is no, they didn't. And in fact, are still living on this earth as the Mayans still are living and the Aztec, greatly reduced numbers. They no longer have the Sumerian empire, but they are still around. We're going to be talking about them right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you, when I said the Sumerians still live, probably said, yeah, right. Well, let's talk about who are the Sumerians. I tell you, they do still live. But let's talk about who are the Sumerians before we get into what's going on with them. The Sumerians, and I'm not saying Sa-merians, not S-A-M, Su, S-U, Sumerians. The Sumerians were, they are, the oldest known city-dwelling civilization on this planet in our history. There may be some that are older. But those are that's the oldest city-dwelling civilization that we have found. And they're pretty amazing, these Sumerians. They had very complex mathematics. They knew things about the stars and the planets that were not discovered by, quote, modern science, until some of those things, until the 20th century. And yet they knew and wrote about it, drew pictures of it. Very amazing people. They had a public school system in their cities. They had public libraries. They had public entertainment. They had plumbing systems that were more modern than some used in certain places on Earth today, where there's plumbing, but it's not too modern. Well, the Sumerian system was more modern than a lot that is in use today. And the Sumerians wrote prodigiously. They didn't use paper to write on. They used clay tablets, and they used a form of writing called cuneiform. They used a little wedge to push the letters into the clay. And literally thousands of these clay tablets have been discovered. Now, most people who know anything about the Sumerians know about the Sumerians because of the writings and lectures of Zechariah Sitchin. There are, like every author, like every lecturer, he has his detractors that come out and say, oh, he's all wrong. And the experts come out and try to show why he's wrong. Oh, well, okay. We're not going to get into was he right or was he wrong. What we're doing is simply saying you know about the Sumerians not because of any of those experts. They didn't give a flip whether you knew about them or not. But Zechariah Sitchin thought you ought to know because he found in their writings some really amazing things and are things that to him seemed really amazing. And so he's written books about the Sumerians and what they had to say. It is through those writings that most people who know anything about Sumeria have heard of the Sumerians. If you know about them, it's probably because you have read a Zechariah Sitchin book or because you have seen a Zechariah Sitchin video, a lecture perhaps. And so it's amazing stuff. Zechariah Sitchin brought to us the information, whether you think it's right or whether you think it's wrong, the information he has brought to us is that the Sumerians believed that everything they knew, in fact, they said everything they knew, everything they had learned, came from a race of beings, they called them the Anunnaki, and which basically Anunnaki is the plural form of Anu and means the sons of Anu, but the literal translation would be those who came down from the sky. And so they said that this race of beings, the Anunnaki, came from another planet. They're not from here. And they came here, and everything the Sumerians knew, they said they got it from the Anunnaki. That's who taught it to them. Well, whether you believe that or whether you don't believe that, it's important to know that that is what those people believed. And there's some debate about whether this extra planet they wrote about is called Nibiru, or if Nibiru may be a brown dwarf around which there are planets in orbit, and on one of those planets live the Anunnaki. So there's some debate about that, but in any case, Nibiru is mentioned in the Sumerian writings. Now, the Sumerians date back to about 5,000 years ago. And they had been living rather well and peacefully in the Mesopotamian Valley for about 1,200 years before the Akkadians arrived. Now, the Mesopotamian Valley, where is that? Well, Mesopotamia is a word that means the land between the rivers. It is the land between the Tigris and Euphrates. It is, for the most part, today, known as Iraq. So that is where the Sumerians lived, and the Sumerians, they were vegetarians, and they very peaceful, very non-bellicose. And about 1,200 years into their existence there in Mesopotamia, or in the land, as they called it, the land of Sumer, about 1,200 years into that, this group called the Akkadians arrived. That's A-K-K-A-D, Akkad, or Akkad. The Akkadians were a little bit more warlike than the Sumerians, and they began to spread out across Mesopotamia. And there were some conflicts, but they were short-lived, and not much of a conflict between the Akkadians and the Sumerians, because the Sumerians simply were just not warlike people. And so what happened was the Sumerians sort of were blended into the new Akkadian civilization through intermarriage, and then culturally sort of blended in. The Akkadians had their own religion. However, the Sumerian knowledge was superior to the Akkadians, and the Sumerians were like just super, super artists, highly skilled. And so it was sort of blended into the Akkadian culture and into the Akkadian, new Akkadian empire. Well, this rocked along for about 1,000 years, and then came the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans were more warlike than the Acadians, but the same sort of situation took place where there was sort of a blending of the cultures. And so now you have Ur, which has been Ur of the Sumerians, then you have Ur of the Akkadians, and then you have Ur of the Chaldees. Well, when these civilizational blendings take place, the people do not cease to exist. I mean, we have to understand that. It's probably harder in America for people to grasp this than it is for other nations, because America is truly the big melting pot. I mean, everybody gets here, and then there's within a few generations there's been some intermarriage, and there's not in America there's just not anything that you can point to and say that's a pure blood this or a pure blood that. If your family's been here for several generations, it's probably mixed. Now, other nations of the world, that's not as true. For instance, there are some nations where if you go there, you know that the people you're looking at are all one race. Okay, they're all, but you don't have that in America. But imagine if your country sort of blended civilizationally with another civilization. There would be some intermarriage, but you would still have people who said, no, I'm not going to marry outside of my group. That happens. All right, now, if you follow the history's timeline down, you come down to a point where we know the story about, well, we call him Abraham. His name was Abram to begin with. And it's if you look at the biblical account, it says that he was from Ur of the Chaldees. So that tells us that it kind of gives us a time for when this happened. He was from Ur at the time that the Chaldean Empire, was in charge of that area. So there's been the blending now of Sumerian, Akkadian, and Chaldean. The Chaldees are in charge now. And then you have Abram, who is from Ur of the Chaldees. So the real question that a lot of people ask about Abram is, okay, so ethnically, what was he? Well, he was either ethnically Sumerian, ethnically Akkadian, ethnically Chaldean, or he was a mixture. We don't know. But I think it's probably safe to assume he was probably Chaldean. But he was from Ur of the Chaldees. And he leaves and he travels way, way, way around to what is today Israel. And then further down and into Egypt. Now, I'll show you some maps in just a moment. We're not really going to be talking about Abraham and his descendants. His descendants are two different groups of people, the Jews on one side and the Arab nations on the other side. All of them trace their heritage back to this man. And so it's kind of interesting. They're, in a way, they're blood relatives. But anyway, it all goes back to Abram. All right, now, the reason I bring Abram up is this. A couple of things about him. Abram, later called Abraham, is from Ur of the Chaldees. And when his sons were old enough to get married and he wanted to get a wife for his son, he sent his servants back to Ur of the Chaldees. He sent his servants back there to get someone of his own race. He wanted a wife for his son, but she had to be from his own ethnic stock. And so they found a wife and brought her, and the story goes on. But the point, you see what happened here, is you have a little splinter of the Chaldeans that goes around over into what is today Israel. And he doesn't want his son to marry any of the local girls, so he sends servants back to get a girl from the Chaldean region, ethnically the same, and bring her there. And so what we have ethnically is an extension of the Chaldeans going over into what is today Israel and then down into Egypt. And then that spreads out, you know, those children are ethnically the same as the Chaldeans. The children of that marriage are ethnically, genetically the same as the Chaldeans. And their children, and their children, and their children. So whenever we, you see how this works, when we talk about the Chaldeans, you might say, well, I don't know anybody that's a Chaldean. I never met a Chaldean. Well, if you ever meet someone who is a Jew that truly is like no mixture, pure blood, can trace it all the way back, I don't know if they can do that, you're looking at a Chaldean, ethnically. Ethnically, because that's where they came from. All right, so do the Chaldeans exist today? Well, yeah, there. I just explained it. You see how it works? So the Sumerians, you have Sumerians who took the same sort of view and wanted to, you know, keep their group ethnically together. And so, kids were raised so that, hey, you know, you have to marry a Sumerian. Yeah, we're living in the Akkadian Empire, but you marry a Sumerian. And so that has been going on. And do those people exist today? Well, apparently the answer is yes. And, you know, they're still here. And in fact, they've been living in that same region for 4,000 years. They've been living in that same region. We're going to take a break before we get the maps up. But we're going to take a look at the maps, and we're going to find out, I think, some pretty astounding facts here this evening about the world we live in and about these people Zechariah Sitchin told us about. They still live and breathe, and they're among us on this planet today. Their religion has not changed. Their writings have not changed, and they are still around. And guess what they're doing? They're still practicing that closed circle sort of culture. You cannot convert and become one of them. They don't allow it. You can convert and say you believe what they believe. That's your choice, but you're not getting in the group. All right? They don't allow it. They don't allow their children to marry outside this group. Everyone in the group traces their pedigree back all the way to Sumer. Everyone in the group, and there's about 50,000 of them, everyone in the group can trace their lineage all the way back to those days that we've just been talking about, those days 4,000 years ago. Now, I told you that the Sumerians date back 5,000. That's true. But tracing the pedigrees back only goes back to about 4,000. They got to be able to do that, or you ain't one of them. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's talk about the Sumerians. Let's talk about, do they exist today? I said they do. And I want to show you a few pictures that I think you'll find very interesting about the Sumerians. First of all, here's what some of them look like. And let me show you several pictures here. This group goes by several names, and I'll explain these pictures in just a moment. But you can see from the picture, those of you who are watching us on internet TV, that you can see from the picture that some of these people are darker skinned, some are lighter skinned, some are tall, some are short. The interesting thing about them is the priestly class, those who are priests, of them, most of them are tall, most of them are white-skinned, and about 3 out of 12 have blue eyes. And the rest of them have black eyes or brown eyes, very dark brown eyes. Kind of an interesting thing. All right, now we'll come back to those, but let's see if we can sort of get an idea here of where we're talking about. And I want you to see what I was talking about. This area over here around the Persian Gulf is the area that was Sumer. And I told you that when it was Chaldean, and I'll get into that in just a moment, but I told you when it was Chaldean that you had Abram, who was from Ur of the Chaldees, and Abram traveled from Chaldea, and he went around what is called the Fertile Crescent and down into what is today Israel. But whenever he wanted a wife for his son, he sent servants all the way back to get a wife from the homeland. And so what you see here is how is it that there are Chaldeans alive today? Well, we're talking about Sumerians being alive today, but I'm using the Chaldeans as an example. Well, there's how, right there. Because the descendants of Abraham on one side of his family are all Chaldean. The descendants on the other side are Chaldean and Egyptian. So on one side of his family, one set of kids and grandkids are all Chaldean, and then all of their descendants are ethnically the same. They come from the same stock, from the same group. So that's how that happens. All right, now let's zoom in just a little bit, and let me show you the area of the Chaldees and the area of it's changing on me, and I don't know if I can stop that. Let me see if I can stop that. The picture's changing automatically, and I don't want it to, so let's see what we can do about that. All right, let's go back, and let's see what we can come up with here. All right, now, if I can get that to stay right where it is, I want to draw for you the region that was reigned over by the various empires, okay? So we have the Sumerian Empire basically in the southern delta region of the two rivers, the southern Mesopotamian Valley, all right? Now, they were there for about 1,200 years before the Akkadians showed up. Now, the Acadians took this whole area right in through here, like so. And then about 1,000 years later, someone else showed up called the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans sort of took this area. All right, so you can see how you have an overlay of area, and you have an overlay of culture. In other words, as one group moves in, there's a mixture of the cultures. Then the next group moves in, and a mixture of the cultures. The interesting thing that happens here is that the writings of the Sumerians about the cosmos, the writings about the Anunnaki, the understanding of the flood, you know, this great cataclysmic worldwide flood that happened. Some people think, well, that's Noah's flood. Okay, that's what it's called in the Bible, but long, long, long before the Bible was written, that same story was written in Sumer. And it uses different names. There are some different details involved, but it was written in the Sumerian writings about that flood. And then, you know, there's all kinds of stories in there that you read them, and then you read very similar things are in the Bible. But much older than the writings that are in the Bible are the writings of the Sumerians. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. This is really important. The Sumerian beliefs predate both Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Those religious beliefs have been here longer than what are called the world's three big religions today. And they have not disappeared. And that's the interesting thing. Now, remember, I told you that these people are still alive, and I showed you some pictures of them, and I want to go back to that. These are some priests of the today. They go by the name Mandaean, M-A-N-D-A-E-A-N, or the Mandai. And these are some of the priests of the Mandai. When Christianity came along, one of the really great disservices, I think, that was done by, and maybe they had the best of intentions, I don't know, but one of the great disservices that was done by early Christian missionaries and explorers, and by early, I mean like really early, is that as they traveled through these regions and came across different groups of people, if they saw something that was similar to what the Christians were practicing, they tried in some way to make that Christian. In other words, they would say, oh, well, these people are also Christians. And so, you know, they just don't have the complete good news. They don't have the complete gospel yet. Well, remember those pictures? The Mandaeans practice baptism. They believe that is very necessary in order to purify both the body and the spirit, the soul. And they practice baptism. And so early Christian missionaries saw that, and they said, well, oh, all right, well, these people are Christians. Well, they're not. I mean, they themselves say they are not. And it's not me passing judgment on them. It's just, you know, they themselves have a very low regard for the primary figure in Christianity, which is Jesus. They're very, very peaceful people. Look, in the last 2,000 years, there's not on record anywhere in the world there is no record for the past 2,000 years of a Mandean committing the crime of murder. They're very peaceful. They have absolutely no political aspirations. They basically just want to be left alone. As I said, you know, a Mandean marries a Mandean. That's it. And they have to be able to prove their pedigree. They have to prove they are full-blood, long-time pedigreed Mandean, or they're not part of the group. There's only about 50,000 of them, and probably that practice right there is why the numbers are so few. But they have lived right there in the southern Mesopotamian Valley. I showed you a map. I want to show it to you again. The Mandeans, up until really recently, have been living right in the southern Mesopotamian Valley. They sometimes are referred to as Babylonians. They sometimes are referred to as Mandean. They sometimes are referred to as Sabean or Sabian. And that actually comes from the Arabic word Sabu that means baptizers. So these early missionaries would see them baptizing, and you saw how they were dressed. And they would see them baptizing, and so they say, oh, well, they must be Christian. Well, they're not. Their holy book is called the Ginza Rabba. Now, they have quite a few holy writings, but the primary one is the Ginza Rabba. And, you know, they look forward to a time. They view Abram as an aberration. They say he was one of them. And he was an aberration. They say that Jesus was one of the wise men, but became a rebel and a renegade, and they view him as no good. In fact, they sort of view him as a demon. They still worship the Sumerian gods. They still worship Anu. They still worship the gods of Marduk, Anu, Enlil, Enki. It's all still going on, folks. It's all still going on. Now, one of the interesting things I found about them, and by the way, all of this got started. The Sumerians have been a particular interest of mine since my days in college when I took a course in ancient history, and I found that what the ancient history books had to say about them, which was nothing like Zechariah Sitchin, but those ancient history books showed them to be just fascinating people. Fascinating. But one of our listeners sent me a link to look at some information about the Mandeans. I did, and it sort of made me say, you know, we need to take a closer look at what's happening here, and you'll see why. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we're talking about these Sumerians. They trace their lineage all the way back to Sumer. Sometimes they are referred to as Babylonians. Today they are most frequently referred to as Mandeans or Mandai. And they trace their lineage all the way back, 4,000 years back, and they've lived in this same area of what is today Iraq for the last 4,000 years. They're vegetarians, absolutely peaceful. And a very small group. There's only about 50,000 of them left. They're very, even today, highly skilled craftsmen with gold and silver and jewelry. They're just very, very highly skilled with that. And they've lived there for 4,000 years. Their writings are the writings of the religion of Sumer. Their gods are the gods of Sumer. And when the early Christian missionaries saw them baptizing people, they decided that those must be Christians. So for a period of time, they've also been referred to as Christians of St. John. Now, the reason they consider the person that we in the West know as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, they consider him to be one of the prophets because of his strong belief in the necessity of baptizing in order for people to be cleansed spiritually, and then also because of his ascetic lifestyle and the fact that they say he prayed three times a day. And so he's not like one of their leaders. He holds no really special place, but they do recognize him as a prophet. And so in an attempt to throw that Christian umbrella over them, the early missionaries began to refer to them, and these people said, oh, okay, it's all right, you can call us that, Christians of St. John or St. John Christians. But they do not revere Jesus and say so. So they themselves will tell you they are not actually Christians, all right? So the thing that we want to get into here before our top of the hour break, because in the top of the hour break, I am going to open up the telephone line and allow you to call in, and we'll kind of talk about some of this. When, you know, I told you about the Sumerians had this incredible knowledge of the planets and stars, and, you know, they just really, really, really knew things that so-called modern science did not know all the way up into the 20th century. And some of it, I guess, we still have not quite discovered. One of those things was Nibiru. These Mandeans believe that is fact, and they it's part of their belief system, this planet Nibiru, or maybe it's a brown dwarf, but whatever it is, this other heavenly body that's supposed to come through here about every 3,600 years, they believed that it, they do believe that it is for real. They've been living in that same spot for 4,000 years. Smart people, peaceful people, no ambitions in politics whatsoever. They just kind of want to be left alone. Well, they've moved. They have picked up and moved. Every one of them that is able-bodied enough to have done so has left that region. A big portion of them have gone to Australia. A big portion of them have gone to Canada. There are a few of them that went over into Syria and Jordan, but they're looking for a way to get to Canada, the United States, or Australia because they say they are persecuted in Syria and Jordan. Their religion is certainly not recognized. They are considered unclean. If they go into a store and they happen to touch something, they have to buy the entire stock because those very wise, tolerant, and wonderful people there say they have polluted it. And but they've moved. They packed up and left their 4,000-year homeland. Now, Some people say, well, that's because of the persecution being done by these extremists among the Islamists. Well, certainly that persecution is happening. There's no question that happens. But these people have lived in that area for 4,000 years, right there in Sumer, and they have lived through one warring empire after another, after another, after another, and they have never left their homeland. Just because there's some persecution, just because there's, and I'm not trivializing it, but just because there's some really horrendous things that are being done to them, that's not enough to make them leave their 4,000-year-old homeland. That has been home for 4,000 years. They've lived through Sargon the First, Second, Third. They've lived through Cyrus. They've lived through Nebuchadnezzar. They've lived through everything you can think of. They lived through Alexander the Great conquering the area. They live through every kind of persecution and war you can think of and stayed in their homeland. But they've moved. They have fled their homeland. Now, the question, quite naturally, is since they are the living Sumerians, since they are the people who still they're ethnically related, they're ethnically descendants of the Sumerians, and since they still practice the Sumerian religion and worship the Sumerian gods, and since 2012 is upon us, is that a factor? Well, they're not talking about it. They're not very public people. They don't talk about these sort of things. They're not saying. Interestingly, when they look at the stars and the planets, they don't worship the stars and planets, but they believe they are living entities. They believe that when you look at Saturn or Venus or Mars, those are living entities. They have a spirit. And those living entities do exert influences and forces upon our lives, and so they study them, and you could say, in a way, it is a type of astrology. Have you ever heard of the Magi? The Magi, you know, the three wise men that came from the East and came around at Christmas, what we call Christmas, came around at the birth of Jesus. Of course, it wasn't in December. And they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were magi. Magi were people who did the same thing. They believed those stars and those planets had living spirits. And they studied their movements and their relations to one another because they believed the spirits of those planets and stars exerted influence upon our lives here on the earth. Well, those people are still alive. Those people are still here. It's just like I said at the beginning of the show. You've heard of the Mayan. And we talk about them as if they're past. The Mayans still live. The empire is past. The Aztec, some of them still live. The empire is past. When we talk about the Sumerians, they still live. The Chaldeans, they still live. Go by different names today, but they still live. And it's not just like, you know, one tiny little molecule of Chaldean is out there and a tiny little molecule of Sumerian is out there in somebody's bloodline. No, the Chaldeans still live. And the Sumerians still live. Well, the Sumerians have lived right there in Sumer for the last 4,000 years, but within the last couple of years, they picked up and moved. They've lived through every conqueror that's come through there, but now they've moved. Is it 2012? We'll be back with Open Lines after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Ryan in Washington State.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing, Kevin?
Outstanding.
Boy, it was a very interesting show tonight.
Did you know the Sumerians were still alive? Did you know that?
I gotta be honest with you. I had no idea. I'm really, honestly, not very as educated as I should about ancient history. But I suppose that applies to a lot of people that live in the Western society that we live in. But I wanted to ask you a question before I make an observation on what I'm noticing. But I wanted to ask you. Have you been looking into this for quite some time, or did you recently read some sort of news about this?
No, I've been looking at this for some time, and then recently someone sent me an email this week with a link to a story about the Mandeans moving, and I didn't know they had just packed up and left their 4,000-year-old home. So that's recent, but the other information I've accumulated over the years.
Well, I find it kind of interesting how going back to the beginning of time, considering that this is one of the starting points of time, how since then our civilization has sort of branched off into different parts of the world. We had the Western society, we had the Asian culture. It's very easy for somebody like me that has not traveled the world to kind of forget that there are portions where people have not changed for thousands and thousands of years, where they still live the same. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think the reason for why certain parts of our civilization has become more technologically advanced? For example, the Sumerians probably never even turned on a radio before.
Oh no, they're modern.
At some point, we branched off into a portion of society branched off to be more technologically advanced. You know, I mean, it's very interesting stuff. I just want to let you know that, but.
Well, I think the reasons are varied. In some cases, it's religion that keeps people from advancing technologically. Right here in the United States, we have a group of people who believe it's a sin to have any kind of modern conveniences. And so, for instance, their pants have no zippers. They have buttons. All right? It's part of their religion. They have no televisions, they have no radios, and they travel by horse and buggy. And that's a branch of Christianity right here in the United States of America. So in some places and in some cases, it will be religion, religious beliefs that hold people back from technology. In some cases, it's just cultural. They just see no need for this, that, or the other thing. They're just not interested.
Yeah.
In some cases,
remember that tribe last year that a plane flew over them, and there was the first time they ever came in contact with the outside world. And but when the Sumerians 4,000 years ago, I'm not as educated as I should about this, but the question I had was, at that time, what was it? Do you have any idea what the population of the planet was at that time, or is there any kind of?
No, I have no idea what the population of the planet was. The Sumerians, at their height, total population probably, and it's just guesswork, you know. But the biggest number I've seen was probably around 2 million people.
Well, all of our DNA, each of us has DNA that started somewhere. Realistically, I came from a father and a mother. They came from a father and a mother, and on and on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And it keeps going back. I mean, it has to have started somewhere, you know. It's amazing. It's just an amazing situation, that this planet that we live in.
It really is.
I haven't had a chance to travel the world or anything yet, as much as I could. I know that you have. But I suppose the differences in sections of this planet are so vastly they're so different that it would be worthwhile for people to travel around just to see what kind of environment other people live in. I suppose we're more technologically advanced because of the resources we have, but I don't know if that's true or not. I guess I'll just take it off the air.
Yeah, thanks. Resources do play a part. There are some places that simply don't have the revenue, the wealth necessary to be able to partake in the technology. And think about yourself. I mean, just about everyone I'm talking to you either have a car, or you at some point in your life have had a car, you've driven a car, you've ridden in a car. But how many of you have purchased a Rolls Royce? Well, a few of you have, but how many in this audience have purchased a Rolls Royce? Well, not very many. Why? Well, it's the most technologically advanced automobile or best engineered automobile out there, great luxury automobile. So why haven't you gotten one? Well, because you didn't have the money for it. And so all of technology works like that. There are places that simply don't have the money to partake of the technology. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing?
Outstanding.
I'm having a little problem with a society being inbred for 4,000 years with their gene pool, because I have a purebred a dog, Pekingese, he comes from five that was saved from being killed when the French invaded. Budapest or whatever in China there, where the monks are at.
Well, Budapest is not in China.
Oh, the ones that the guys that's been having problems here lately in China,
Are you talking about Tibet?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah, you got me. All right. Yeah, and I guess they only got like five of them captured before they killed them all, because they worshipped them and they called them lion dogs, you know. And they, all purebreds have problems. Like mine has little seizures and stuff. But, you know, you run into a lot of problems after maybe 300 years. I think most inbred dogs, you're going to have real, real problems with them. So, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that society could last for 4,000 years being inbred, You know how it is, where you can't marry your cousin and stuff. It just, that's a long...
Well, it is amazing, and the fact is they do exist, and they do strictly adhere to the deal that you can't marry outside of the clan. Now, there's 50,000 of them now. There were 70,000 of them around 1900. There's 50,000 of them now. But that's a broad enough gene pool with 50,000 that you can't really say they're inbred. How many people are there that live in towns of 50,000 people, and they're all marrying each other?
Yeah, I suppose too. But I know that there's usually, I imagine, somebody comes in or moves out. I mean, there's a break usually somewhere in it.
Well, not with these Mandeans. These, you can call them Mandeans, Subas, Babylonians, Sumerians. It's closed. Period. And there are no evidences of the effects of inbreeding as you were describing. These people are sharp. They are really smart, and some of them doctors, lots of them, very high quality, highly skilled craftsmen. These are sharp people.
Yeah, I was wondering, did you remember hearing about them tracking down the Adam gene, which takes them back to a part in Africa, who they think is actually a colored person that we're all tied to?
No.
You haven't heard that?
No. I know they were working on it. But that's no surprise. The word Adam means red man.
Yeah, that's, I guess, that's what latest I've heard on the Internet about that they're believing that they take it back into Africa, and it definitely was a colored person. They're calling Adam, who mm-hmm. they say it's got the same Y gene as everybody got.
Well, I guess that means that...
I don't know.
I guess that means everyone like me that's glow-in-the-dark white is an aberration.
Yeah, I don't know how all that works.
I don't either. But, let me ask you something. Since we are kind of talking about the color of people... color of people get nervous about that. They don't want to talk, but especially here in America. Oh, no, you can't talk about that. Oh, nonsense. Look, I'm not blind. I can see that we all are different colors, and I don't think that's a big deal. When's the last time you heard someone do this, though, Terry? When's the last time you heard someone come in and say, "Well, that's it, honey. We got to move." And she says, "Why?" He said, "I already put the for sale sign up in the front yard. Try to get out of here before the property values drop." And she says, "Why? What's happened?" And all some people with blue eyes moved in across the street. See, we don't do it with the color of eyes. We don't do it with the color of hair. We just do it with the color of skin. And that's just absolute crap.
Yeah, they had more of a problem, the colored people had more of a problem with us here in the
land. I don't want to get into that. I'm just talking about that, we have such weird attitudes about the differences between us when the differences are really so minor. They don't make any sense at all. We don't do it with the color of hair. We don't do it with the color of eyes. We only do it with the color of skin. And it's just nonsense. Terry, man, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And the telephone line is open if you would like to call in and talk with us. We're talking about these very interesting individuals called Sumerians. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, my take on why those guys are leaving that area, I think that they know they have, for some reason, they got maybe they got a message from them or something, but they know that the Nephilim and Anunnaki are coming back. I think that was where the their earthly abode was in that area, and they want their houses, but they want their area back, so that when the Anunnaki and the Nephilim come back, they're gonna take up their property again.
Well, according to Sitchin, the Anunnaki and the Nephilim are the same. It's just two different languages talking about the same individuals.
Well, from what I gather, when I read the 12th Planet, is that the difference between the Nephilim and the Anunnaki was that the Nephilim were like the elite of the group, and the Anunnaki were like, the Anunnaki were the peasants.
No, the difference is Anunnaki is the Sumerian language, Nephilim is Hebrew.
I see. Well, yeah, that's what I think it is. They're coming back, and these Sumerian people are making way for them. I think that's exactly what it is.
It's pretty mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is pretty mysterious, and I think 2012 does have something to do with it. The timing is just a little, it's a little conspicuous, if you ask me.
It is. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good night, man.
All right. All right, folks, what do you think about that? I think that there's not an accident in the timing. Now, they are not saying that 2012 and the return of Nibiru, they're not putting all that together and saying that for the world, but something's up. Look, they lived through all of the Sargons. Okay, you've read in ancient history about these great conquerors, Sargon the Great, Sargon the First, and so forth. You read about them. They lived through Nebuchadnezzar. They lived through Cyrus. They lived through Darius. They lived through Alexander the Great. They've lived through every conqueror you've read about in history that came through there and you know, just conquered and destroyed and did all, and they stayed right there in that same area. But here we are, 4,000 years later, and they have picked up and moved. Now, the reasons that are out there in the public is the persecution that they say they have been, and well, it's not just they say, it's been documented. It's been lots of murdering and raping by people who claim allegiance to Allah. I don't buy that that is real Islam. I buy that that is a tremendous aberration of Islam. But nevertheless, they're doing it under that name, and they've been persecuting them. And that's the public reason that's out there. But they've lived through all that kind of stuff before, and they didn't leave. This time, they've left. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Doug.
Hi, Doug.
How are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
You sound like your throat's a lot better. I'm glad to hear that.
I still have some problems with it. You probably, I don't know if you're watching, but if you're watching, you've seen me turn the mic off and cough. I'm still having some problems with it. But, yeah, I'm back.
Well, that's great. You know, Kevin, I sent you that link there today because, you know, I came across that, and I thought that was absolutely fascinating because the research that you put into 2012, and you're a very learned gentleman and do excellent investigative work with all of this. I knew that you put together a great show on this. However, I'd like to point out something that I found quite interesting.
All right.
I don't like to get into religion or anything like that, but anyways, there's this preacher or pastor, whoever he is, his name is Perry Stone Jr. And he put together a series of videos. One was called Israel Racing Towards the Second Coming. One is the Babylon Back and From the Dead. Now, this one here depicts Saddam Hussein actually believing himself as being a reincarnate of Nebuchadnezzar and was actually, at the time prior to the first Gulf War, in the physical reconstruction of the old buried archaeological digs. He was trying to rebuild the actual old city of Babylon.
Yes, and he did rebuild a great portion of it.
A great portion, yes. Yeah. He did. Yeah, and that kind of like really astounds me to you know, like when you think about it, we're pumped all of this garbage knowledge. We're pumped full of this BS from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, when it comes down to the truth about a lot of things, and when it comes right down to the basic grassroots of where we're from and all this kind of stuff, he hit on a very, very good point, and that was, you know, that we don't know anything when it comes right down to those folks who lived back in those days. And the link I provided you today, I was hoping that you'd be able to bring forth some excellent information by your investigative digs as you do so well. And I just thought I'd just pump that to you right now. The Babylon Back from the Dead, written by or produced by Perry Stone Jr. If you ever have a chance to take a look at it, it's quite amazing.
Yeah, I'll do that. And I appreciate the call.
All right, you have a great night.
All right, thanks. Yeah, back before the first Gulf War, Saddam Hussein began rebuilding the ancient city of Babylon. And he viewed himself as the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, let me tell you, he was an amazing individual. He was only 21 years old whenever he became the king of the Babylonian kingdom or empire. His father died, and he was away on campaigns, military campaigns, Nebuchadnezzar was. He was recalled to Babylon and made king, and by the age of 25, he had conquered the known world. By known world, I mean for people in that region. He had conquered the world as they knew it by the age of 25. He was a very, very smart individual. And he conquered all the way over. You saw on the map how far it was from the Mesopotamia, from Babylon, all the way over to Israel. He conquered all of that. And he was just a really, really smart, intelligent leader and fantastic general, but a great leader. Even people that he conquered really liked him. Not everybody, of course, but for the most part, they really liked him. Because when he conquered them, he improved their lives. He didn't just step on them. When he conquered their armies, he then improved their lives. Better roads, better schools, better systems for everything. And Saddam Hussein thought he was somehow the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. He never could have dreamed of the day that he could even have approached the stature of Nebuchadnezzar. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. And also, I saw on the William Henry documentary that he mentioned that Nebuchadnezzar claimed to be the reincarnation of, was it of Marduk?
Yeah.
You heard that, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it was Marduk. So it's like a chain of, you know, I was this, I was this person, he's that person. And so
Trey,
on.
Can you hang on? We got a break going. Can you hang on? All right, you hang in there, and we'll get you first up after the break. Folks, we'll be back right after this. All right, we're back, and Trey from Louisiana has been hanging on during the break. Trey, you still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Shoot, it's yours.
Well, I was just talking about they sounded similar, but I think the main thing about I think the reason they moved is probably has something to do with 2012. I don't think it was really having anything to do with the people around them, because I think those people have been intolerant for a long time and socially stagnant, and maybe these people here, at least part of their social evolution has remained stagnant. But
I want to clarify something. These people, these Mandeans or Sumerians or Chaldeans or whatever you want to call them, whether the descendants of the Sumerians, they are the Sumerians. These people are modern. They're educated people. They're not primitives at all, but they are a closed society.
Well, there must be a reason that they're trying to keep their gene pool pure. That's the kind of what I was getting at. I know there's also I forget what you call the type of Jews that do that too, but there's the type of Jews that don't, you know, you can't marry a Jew or a non-Jew, and they've got, your mother's got to be a Jew, and it's, I think specifically to keep the gene, their DNA clean or, you know, original or whatever. So, I mean, but they're moving. I don't think it's coincidence, Kevin. I mean, you know, it's, unless you want to put it in the list of coincidences, you know, with everything else that's going on.
Yeah, I don't think it's coincidental.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's neat to hear about them, because, you know, you're not taught about them either, you know, modern day, what they're doing now, or what they were, you know, like talking about the Sumerians. You know, you're not taught that in school either.
And well, that's true. And, you know, interesting thing about them, a big difference between them and, say, the Mayan. The Mayan, all of their writings, and they had many books, but they were destroyed by the conquistadors and particularly by the missionaries, the Christian missionaries that the conquistadors brought with them. They considered those writings to be evil. And so they didn't understand them. They considered them to be evil, and they destroyed them. Only a very few, four fragments have come down to us. And so we don't know a whole lot about, even though we know the Mayans themselves still exist, we don't know a lot about the inner workings of that Mayan empire. But with the Mandeans, their writings are still with them, and they still read the same scrolls. Well, probably they're copies of the scrolls, but they still read the same sacred books that were being read 4,000 years ago by their ancestors, and so we know. We can look at them and their writings and look right back into the Sumerian culture and know what they thought and believed.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. It makes you wonder, because the further, or I don't know if this goes hand in hand, but you know, it seems, you know, the more technology and the more bubble, the more of a bubble we create around ourselves, it's like the more ignorant we become. Whereas these people haven't changed, and none of those stories are lost to them, whereas, you know, a lot of our stories are lost to us. And, you know, whether you're talking about former civilizations that we've, you know, taught. But anyway, thanks for the topic. It's a neat topic. And one other thing is that we always mentioned about the extraterrestrial influence and teachings and everything. And I just think it's been one constant clue that it's always one side or the other, whether it was Alexander the Great being assisted by a UFO supposedly breaking down that wall. You know, it's almost like it's a video game to them, and here and there they can cheat here or there, not really attacking the humans, but blowing up a wall for this group of humans to go attack that group of humans. But it's not really, you know, them attacking humans, though. But anyway, thanks for the show, Kevin.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. The telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. I find it to be really interesting, more than interesting. I think it's significant. I can't fully interpret it, but I think it's significant that these folks who have lived right there in Sumer for 4,000 years, they've lived through every kind of catastrophe you can think of. They've lived through war. They've lived through one conqueror after another, and they've never left Sumer. But now they have, and I think that is significant. I think it's something that we ought to at least pay attention to and say, hey, you know, something may be up here. Something may be up. I'm not saying that something is up, but something may be up here. We need to watch this. 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Were you aware that the Sumerians still live? Were you aware that there was still a group dating all the way back, 4,000 years back, that still read those same scriptures and holy writings and still worship Marduk, Enlil, Enki, Anu? You know, when we hear about the Sumerians, we usually just think that it's all past tense. Well, they're not past tense. They live. Now, the question is, why have they decided? You talk about putting roots down. Now, folks, 4,000 years in one area, that's some roots. Why, after 4,000 years with roots that deep, have they decided to leave the area? All of them that could, all of them that were able to travel, left. There's about 5,000 of them still there who were not able to travel. Everyone else left. They're gone. As I said, the biggest portion of them went to Australia, and the next biggest portion went to Canada. A smaller group has gone to Syria and Jordan, where they say they're being persecuted, and they have asked the United Nations, actually, for help in getting out of there and getting to either Canada or Australia. And I guess they would go just about anywhere that would take them, but that's where they're trying to go to. All right, let's go to the telephone line, and if we can get it to answer. Well, caller, let's see. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Ryan again. Sorry to call twice. I had one more question I forgot to ask you. I'll just take it off the air. I'll hang up after I ask it. But,
okay.
The question is, when did they move?
They began their exodus about 2 years ago. So it's been about 2 years. All right, let's go to the other line. Caller, I hung up on you trying to answer you, and I am sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I pushed the wrong button. I was trying to bring you online. My apologies. Pilot error. Call back in, and I'll take your call. 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. All right, let's see if we can, if I can push the right buttons here. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Louis from Connecticut.
I'm sorry, you said your name is what?
It's Louis from Connecticut.
Louis. All right, man, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Kevin, I don't know how to say this, but I believe that weren't the Anunnaki, weren't they giants?
Well, there's some speculation that they were. There was the writings about them say that they were much taller than the Sumerians. But I guess it depends on how you would define giant.
Yeah. But, okay.
Yeah, they were taller than the Sumerians.
Yeah, they were taller than the Sumerians. Well, didn't some of them mate? They liked the Sumerian women, and they mated with the Sumerian women?
Well, I don't know if the Anunnaki, I don't know if the stories say that about the Anunnaki. The Nephilim that Zechariah Sitchin says is the Hebrew term that is equivalent to the Sumerian Anunnaki. The Nephilim, according to Genesis, did do that, yeah.
Okay, then I'm talking about the Nephilim. Okay, what if the Nephilim is still here? What if the Nephilim is the New World Order? And Nibiru, that's why they probably left, because they know that maybe there's going to be another deluge in the Middle East.
Well, even their writings do not allow for another deluge like the Great Flood, but a firestorm, yeah.
Yeah, because I believe that the Nephilim or the New World Order, the people that really run the world, are still here.
David Icke would be right in there with you. He says that. He says that that they are a reptilian race, and that they, through their descendants, are the Illuminati and the New World Order. So David Icke would certainly be in agreement with what you're saying.
Right, and I believe Inky, they're probably coming back. Because did they say they're going to be back, 26,000 years, which was a year to them and their planet?
3,600.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a year in their planet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I believe they're coming back, and they're going to get revenge on the Nephilim. And maybe that's why these people left. They know something's going to happen in the Middle East in a very short time.
It could be. It could be. And there are certainly a lot of people that would line up with that same theory. You're not alone.
Yeah, one more thing. And when we first went to Iraq, what did we do when we first got there? We invaded the museum. They don't say too much about it anymore, but we invaded like we were looking for something. It was like a plan.
Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yeah, hang on. We'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen. And we have Louis still holding on the line. Louis, I'm sorry we had to cut you off, but the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, my opinion is, Kevin, that, remember before the Persian Gulf, they had the German archaeologists in Iraq, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then when we invaded it, we invaded the museum. And a lot of people think they were looking for like a Stargate that Hussein must have came up on son. But I believe, I don't know if anybody ever heard, but I believe they're looking for the looking glass. It's supposed to be where they can see in the future.
Do you think they found it?
I think the people that left found it. They knew they had it all the time. Okay? Everybody thinks it's a Stargate, but I think it's a looking glass because by them taking off like that, something is going to happen there. And I think Inky, whatever this Planet X is, Nibiru, they're on their way back. And I think they're going to have a war with the Nephilim. I believe the Nephilim never left.
So you think that's why these modern-day Sumerians have left?
Right. Because if you notice, everything is going real fast right now. You know, the economy, like they're talking about the New World Order, all these changes. Right? It's like something is up, but we can't put our finger on it. Something is up, but nobody can put their finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen of England bought property in Colorado and all that. You know, something's up, you know? So but my opinion is the Nibelungs never left, and the Nibelungs, they are behind the scenes. They run the show. They are the New World Order. Okay, they're the ones that run the show. That's all I got to say, Kel. I want you to.
Well, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
If the Nephilim are the people who are, as you say, running the show, what's the goal?
The goal?
Yeah. What are they up to?
Well, they're up to take over. They want this in the planning stage for hundreds of years. They want to take over the Earth.
Uh-huh.
What's that? Because if you know, they're coming up with all this. Inoculations and cancer, right? They got something in store for it, but they want to take over because maybe they need, like, one, you had a person on the show about they need our secretions and all that.
Okay.
I believe that's the Nibelungs. They're the evil ones. And this Planet X is coming back to get back and take over and get rid of the Nibelungs. Because the Inki and them are not dead. They're the ones that are coming back.
So you think that whoever is on this planet that they refer to as Nibiru, you think that's the good guys?
Right. I believe that's the good guys. And these people that left the Middle East, they maybe somewhere along the line, they got that looking glass. And I believe, my opinion is, our government knows about the looking glass and they want it. Maybe they had it, but they didn't have it for. They must have lost it, but now they're looking for it. Because that's exactly what they were looking for, in my opinion, when they went to the museum. Because why would you go to a war and tear up a museum? And whoever did it was well planned. Okay, but you don't hear no more about that.
Well, that's it is true that you're not hearing anything about that and probably not going to hear anything about it. And I have to tell you, until you mentioned it, I had forgotten that.
Right. So, and our government, if you know, a lot of strange stuff is happening. Like, people don't realize, when you get up in the morning, the sky is getting more and more copper before the sun rises every day. And it's coming from the southern area. Okay, something is going on, and some people know, but they're not telling the regular people.
Louis, as always, interesting, and I appreciate the call.
You have a great weekend, Kevin.
Thank you. You too. Yeah, it's. I have to say that when you look around the world, it's pretty easy to see, and pretty easy to say something's up, something's on the move here. I'm not real sure what it all is or where it's all headed, but I am, you hear me say sometimes that, hey, I'm not blind. I'm not stupid. I can see something's going on, and I think most people can. Something's up. But see, that's the reason I brought this up. The Sumerians have been interesting to me since I first met the Sumerians back in college, when I first ran into information about them back in college. And, we were still riding dinosaurs to college back when I went. But they've been interesting to me for all these years. And then when Doug sent the link to me about this story about them just moving, just packed up and moved, from their home where they've been, you cannot imagine what it must be like to have roots in an area 4,000 years old. And they just moved. Well, that's way more than curious. That's significant. And I think I'm not sure what it means, but I think it's significant, and I think we ought to pay attention. And I think we ought to ask ourselves, what's all this about? Who are these people? What is it that they do believe? And, you know, how do you, when I say it's significant and we really ought to pay attention, how do you do that? Well, you need to dig into what their writings say. Their writings, their book is called the Genzaraba. And you dig into what those writings say. And then you know something about what they think about the past, the present, and the future. And then maybe we can begin to make sense of this. This may have absolutely nothing to do with 2012. It may have absolutely nothing to do with Nibiru. But when the people who still, they're the descendants of the Sumerians, they are the modern-day Sumerians, and still their gods are Marduk, Enki, Enlil, Anu, and they fully believe the story about Nibiru. When those people suddenly pick up and move after being in the same spot for 4,000 years, something is going on. As I said, the persecution is real, and that may be it. But it's hard for me to fathom that that's it when these people have lived through every conqueror you've read about in your history books. These people have lived through war after war. They've been persecuted. They've been hunted down. They've been killed. But still, some of them live and go on and carry on. It's hard for me to believe that the persecution is the reason, but it may be. It's been fun. I thank you for being here. We're out of time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.